This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show. This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show.
Hi, Fred. My name is Josh Shell, host of the Let's Start a Cult podcast, the only podcast that refuses to acknowledge 2021 and instead will be referring to it as 2020 Part 2, The Reckoning. Now, with that out of the way, let me introduce to you my guest this episode. He is one of the hosts of the incredibly hilarious podcast Florida Men on Florida Man, a podcast that focuses on shockingly true stories from the Sunshine State about the legendary Florida Man. Please welcome to the inner circle, Josh. Josh, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you coming on. So because you are the Florida men who talk about Florida man,
yes,
unfortunately. Does that make you the kings of Florida? And should I from now on refer to you and your co-hosts as your majesty?
Wow. I was not expecting this. We usually abbreviate it. So just cough, king of Florida is perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just straight out call you your majesty because.
Okay. Well, that should make for an interesting story. Maybe just Josh. Well, that's going to be tough.
It's confusing because I'm also Josh.
Yeah, this is a real pickle.
And from now on, I will only have Josh's on the show because.
Nah, okay. You probably run out eventually.
Well, there's a lot of us. There's a lot out there. Well, Your Majesty, on today's episode, we will be in fact focusing on the Sunshine State and discussing the Nation of Yahweh, an organization that started out as a charitable movement to help the impoverished citizens of Miami. And then turned onto the residents, subjecting them to a series of violent attacks and murders that left at least 13 people dead.
I wouldn't expect anything different. You know, honestly, I've never heard of this group, but I expected it to end in violence.
I think when you hear the story, you'll think, yeah, that sounds like a Florida man story.
Awesome.
So let's get started. Hulon Mitchell Jr. was born on October 27th, 1935 in Kingfisher, a sprawling city situated in the heart of Oklahoma. His father, Hulon Sr., was the minister at the Church of God in Christ, while his mother, Pearl, was a pianist for the same congregation.
Did you say Hulon?
Yeah, it's H-U-L-O-N. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but.
I mean, that sounds right, but
it's an interesting name.
Yeah, I think I'd like to go by Hulon, actually, now, if that's cool.
Instead
of Your Majesty.
Hulon and Your Majesty. I'll just change the script here.
Thank you.
So he's already started, like most of these cult leaders. There's a lot of religion in the household, and they're starting off. So
textbook.
Yep. After stints in the military and law school, Mitchell moved to Atlanta, Georgia, in the 1960s, and became caught up with the Nation of Islam, or NOI, a political and religious movement that catered to mostly African Americans. However, he left the organization just a few years after joining.
Okay.
So already getting that.
Oh, yeah. It seems like the trend, start off hyper-religious, taste a couple religions, and then say, well, this isn't for me. I can do better.
Yeah, and I don't actually know too much about the NOI.
Neither do I.
They sound potentially like they could be cult-like.
They sound serious?
Yeah, I'm not going to make any speculations.
No, I don't want to. I'm not going to speak against the NOI.
No. So in 1978, Mitchell moved to Miami. And I'd just like to point out that he was born in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. moved to Georgia, wow. and then moved to Florida. So we can't fully blame Florida for this cult much as we would like to.
Oh, yeah. He definitely, he started it somewhere else. But you said in 78, now he's making his way to Florida.
Yeah.
This is prime time, really, in Miami.
What was going on in Miami? Do you know?
A lot of cocaine.
Time? Okay. Yeah. So.
I'll find out.
Okay. You're perfect. So he moved to Miami, where he started slowly amassing followers from the community's existing congregations, the majority of which consisted of Black Hebrew Israelites, a name that refers to African Americans who believe that they were descendants of the Bible's ancient Israelites.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get there. I could see that.
Yeah. So they did this to keep themselves distinct from Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So they identified themselves as Black Hebrews.
Cool.
And practice a religion that blends together beliefs from Christianity and Judaism. So kind of
best of both worlds, kind of.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Is the second coming going to happen or is it not? We'll find out.
Does Jesus exist? I don't know.
Okay, we'll find out.
Black Hebrew Israelites are often characterized by their religious zeal. And it was thanks to this that Mitchell was able to create his group, which he called the Nation of Yahweh.
Wow. Strong.
The following year in 1979, so it only took him a year to do this. That's impressive.
That's a good start. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't done anything in a year.
I was going to say this year, I haven't done anything.
No, this year I haven't done anything. I gained some LBs, but that's about it.
Yeah. So it's kind of impressive. The fledgling organization established its official headquarters in a mixed-use compound known as the Temple of Love, which was situated in the historically Black enclave of Liberty City in Florida.
Wow. I think compound is where you know something's going on.
Yeah.
I think if you're a cop and you go, is that a compound? Maybe we should check it out.
Maybe we should give that a look into.
For real.
And the Temple of Love sounds less of like a headquarters for a Black Israelite group mm-hmm. and more of a like an orgy cult or something.
Yeah, or a VH1 show.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So far, just off the start, how are you feeling about Hulan and the Nation of Yahweh?
I feel like I would be persuaded into this if I was allowed to be.
Yeah, you're white, so.
Yeah, thank you. If my voice didn't give it away.
So, yeah, I don't think us Joshes would be allowed in.
For real. We'll start our own.
Yeah, it'll also be called the Temple of Love. Yeah,
obviously. We're going to have to borrow the subtitle.
Yeah, we'll have to sue them for the rights or something.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's going good.
So they're starting off pretty nice. They're just kind of like another religious organization. Mm-hmm.
In the compound at the Temple of Love.
Exactly. However, the Nation of Yahweh was built on a disturbing set of doctrines. And I'd like to clarify that this first thing on its own isn't disturbing, but when you add it up with everything else, it's definitely a recipe for disaster.
Okay.
So the first thing they espoused was Black Power, with Mitchell constantly preaching to his followers that God, along with everyone else in the Bible, was in fact Black. He further claimed that they had been endlessly persecuted by white people and the Jews, an oppression that has continued to haunt their descendants to this day. So, again, not necessarily a bad thing.
It's hard to disagree with those statements, right?
Yeah. Pretty much everything you said is true. Black people are still prosecuted by white people.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what God's skin color is.
For real.
If he came from the Middle East, definitely not.
Definitely not white. No. Definitely not all the Jesus posters that are sold.
But you can see, like, it's building a community that is hateful towards white and Jewish people, mm-hmm. which is not something you'd necessarily expect from the Temple of Love, you know?
True.
I think the biggest red flag, however, though, is Mitchell also alleged that he was the son of God, even going so far as to christen himself Yahweh ben Yahweh, which means God, son of God, basically.
Okay. Yeah. I think rule two is where I would lose interest. You know?
It's like, okay, yeah, I can get behind maybe hating some white people, but.
Yeah, obviously. That's easy.
Believing that you're the chosen one. Maybe not.
I think it's my odds, really. What are the odds that I would come across God incarnate?
In Florida.
in Florida. Probably not good. So I'm more of an odd type of guy.
Yeah. And much like Jesus Christ, it was only through him that Black Hebrew Israelites would be able to gain knowledge of their true history,
okay,
which would allow them to free themselves from the persecution that they had suffered at the hands of white and Jewish people. So
okay,
that's where the hate, you know.
Yeah. He holds the knowledge
of how to fight them back. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there money going to be involved soon?
You know what? It doesn't, I couldn't see too much about the money, but they definitely, I mean, they give most of everything up to live in these compounds and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I think I would. I mean, I'm comfortable with living in a compound. I don't currently, but I think some type of co-op I'd be comfortable with.
Yeah. It's like going to college. You're living in a big compound with.
And you're just sharing with a bunch of dudes and.
Just getting trashed every night.
Just getting trashed. That's what the Temple of Love does.
Oh. So this message resonated with a lot of African Americans in Miami, especially in the year 1980, when the city erupted in a series of violent riots after four white police officers were acquitted in the murder of Arthur McDuffie, a Black insurance agent whom they had beaten to death at a traffic stop the year before. And when I read that, I almost confused it for 2020 because it's so similar. Yeah. And kind of telling of how far we've got.
An insurance agent. I mean, anybody. But an insurance agent, that's just...
And a traffic stop. So what's the worst he could have been doing at a traffic stop?
Stopping.
Yeah, going, I guess, is the worst thing you could do at a traffic
stop. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But still, to be beaten to death is...
Yeah, no. I mean, 2020.
Yeah, 2020, 1980. What's 40 years, I guess?
We haven't come far.
Yeah. To quote Khalil Amani, who went by the name Brother Yudah during his time in the Nation of Yahweh, quote, Black people were already in a frenzy about the verdict, so a lot of people were drawn to these teachings. People flocked to us, end quote. So as he's saying, like, they're already stirred up. They just kind of want someone to follow to lead this movement. And Yahweh Ben Yahweh's teachings were certainly unorthodox and radical. Mm-hmm. However, the community's doubt about him dissipated when he used the Nation of Yahweh for public good.
Oh, okay.
They purchased and rehabilitated rundown buildings located in some of the city's poorest areas, transforming them into livable apartment complexes for the impoverished and the homeless.
Wow, okay.
They're doing good, right? You know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just like Jim Jones in the People's Temple.
Just like that. Yeah. That didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, it seems to be, and I'm not sure going into this if the leaders are like, I want to actually do good, or if they're... Because most of them start off this way, where they actually do good things for the homeless, poor, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, they're the supreme being, so naturally the first kind of thing is to help the poor, right?
Exactly. And I don't know. I hesitate to think.
I think they go into it honest.
You think so? Okay.
But it's power. You know, once they get this big helping of power.
I think anyone who claims to be Jesus, though.
I forgot about that one. That was the other one.
Yeah. If they're going into it and they're like, oh, I'm just the leader of this group, like pretty humbly, I would be like, okay, you know, maybe they are going in for the right thing.
I forgot about the second rule, actually, now that we're talking about it.
Yeah. The worst part of the rules. But of course, as with every cult, things took a much darker turn.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, does it take a turn.
Oh, goodness.
Yahweh Ben Yahweh created a small exclusive group within the Nation of Yahweh, which he called the Brotherhood.
Cool.
According to Amani, to gain membership into this inner circle, one had to bring back proof that they had managed to successfully kill a white person.
Wow.
He further claimed to have seen an applicant hand their leader a severed human ear, which he tossed from hand to hand like a toy ball.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I mean, I get it, but...
No, definitely not the Son of God's not like, hey, let's go kill people, you know?
Yeah.
He's more like, forgive and...
Ideally.
Yeah, ideally. Build a better community. I get that these people are frustrated, but to kill random white people, probably not the way to go.
Just to join the Brotherhood, it seems like an extreme step. I thought it was like you get beat in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be better. Not great, but better.
Mm-hmm. Or just sign like a contract or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So for everyone keeping track at home, you know, the formula is hate plus Son of God equal bad.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I think love plus Son of God, probably good.
Yep. We're on the wrong, we're on the wrong side of the coin here.
We're just missing the right word. And
the main word.
Yeah. The main word. This violence and murder escalated throughout the years, which spurred many to leave the Nation of Yahweh. disillusioned and disturbed by what they had witnessed. Amani was one of them. He fled the organization in 1985, leaving behind his wife and children. He managed to reach his hometown of Carroll City, where he slept inside his father's abandoned car, homeless but grateful to have escaped with his life.
So was this guy, was he part of the Brotherhood? Does that mean he had to do extreme things?
I don't think he was. I think he was part of the initial group, mm-hmm. which, you're right, are usually the most ingrained in the cult, which is why I think this is interesting, that they're starting to question and leave the group.
The core unit is now fading out.
Yeah, which, well, it's turning into a different core unit, which is a rotten core by the sounds of it.
Yeah, for real. Hopefully they're not also starting their own cults, because that's what I would expect.
They start their own inner circle within the inner circle.
Yeah, competing cults. Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of these inner circle members started trying to get out. One was actually a co-member of Amani. He was 26-year-old Aston Green, who was among the organization's first dissidents. However, he wasn't lucky enough to escape.
Oh, no.
In 1981, he was bludgeoned unconscious before being rolled up in a carpet and taken to the Everglades.
Goodness.
Where he was finally beheaded. All the while, his attackers and murderers celebrated the fact that they had managed to successfully take revenge against a hypocrite, which was the name given to those who were leaving or planning to leave the Nation of Yahweh.
Mm.
And when someone says, you know, knock unconscious, taken to the Everglades, beheaded, sounds like just another day in Florida to me.
It really is. Yeah. You open the newspaper and you're going to find one of those words.
Well,
at least
that's fun.
I think when you're in the cult, I think when they start coming up with keywords to describe people that leave the cult.
Yeah.
That's when you need to leave before they really rectify the actual word.
Well, and it's wild to me. So this guy left in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
So the cult started in 79. So it's turned that quickly, right?
And they're that extreme. They're like, okay.
That extreme already.
It's a beheading.
But it took Amani until 85 to leave.
Wow.
So he saw one of his good friends, because they were pretty close. They started the organization together, get beheaded. And he was like, I'm going to see how this goes for the next 4 years.
Yeah, for real. It could get worse or it could get better.
Yeah, he wasn't my best friend, so.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was kind of a jerk. He stole my Jell-O out of the fridge one time. So beheading was extreme, but.
Yeah, he could have used a haircut, you know?
Yeah, amen. We missed. Whoops.
The following day, the remaining members of the organization were called to a rally, where they were encouraged by their leader to carry out more revenge killings against the hypocrites. He bade them to make killings public, to leave behind gruesome evidence of the bodies in order to strike fear into the hearts of those who no longer believed in the group's doctrine. Ramping up very quickly.
Why don't you just tell stories of it? You don't have to do it. Like, I'm already scared of this cult.
But yeah, when beheading one person should have been enough to be like, maybe I won't leave.
Well, they won't behead two people. It's okay. They won't behead two people. They don't have the nerve.
Well, and they almost take it to an extreme where it's like, I don't know, like Scientology doesn't do that kind of stuff, but I would be very afraid to be in a Scientology building. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. They may lock you up like in some compound.
And Tom Cruise just beats you.
Or jumps on you.
does some sort of stunt off you. throughout the 1980s, more than a dozen of these revenge killings were ordered by Yahweh Ben Yahweh and dutifully carried out by his followers. Among these murders was that of the alleged leader of the hypocrites, Carlton Carey, and his wife, Mildred Banks. The couple had talked to the police after Austin Green's death to report their suspicions of the Nation of Yahweh. In retaliation, they were attacked by the cult members, which left Carey dead.
Goodness. This is when you move. You know, if you're going to be the head of the hypocrites, you just got to move. Just move. I don't know what the deal is.
Don't know why you'd stick around. That's for sure.
Yeah, let's see. I don't think they're that serious about beheading. Let's risk it.
Yeah, they might have just killed one of our friends, but they won't do it
to us. No, I'm going to the cops and then I'm going to the airport. That's how I'm getting out of this.
I'm not even going to the cops. Fuck it.
Yeah, for real. I'll call the cops.
I'm pulling in Amani. I'm leaving my wife and children.
Just bingo.
Going to my dad's house. The groups also started turning against the community that they initially cared about so much. In 1986, they firebombed beach homes in a bid to terrorize the residents. A few months later, on October 30th, 28-year-old Anthony Brown and 37-year-old Rudolph Brassard were found slain in their apartments, shot to death by a member of the Nation of Yahweh named Robert Rozier, who was known as Nira Israel within the organization.
Goodness. This is getting bad.
Yeah. These two were killed because they had publicly denounced the Nation of Yahweh.
Oh, no.
When their criticisms appeared on television and the newspaper. And
this is so fast.
So quickly. I mean,
they just started the cult like 7 years ago. And now they're already like killing people and destroying real estate.
And actually, the next part is funny because that year marked a turning point of for the Nation of Yahweh. Their violent tendencies having escalated so much that local law enforcement had started paying attention.
Oh, phew. Okay.
In 1986, a total of 9 murder victims were found in the Miami-Dade County in Florida.
Goodness.
Every single one of them had their ears removed.
Oh, my gosh. Why is the ear a calling card for the...
Because you can prove that, like, it's just a quick thing. You can prove that you killed someone, I guess.
I guess. And if they have ears, let them hear, I think is in the scripture.
Oh.
So maybe it's part of that.
Maybe it is a religious thing, true. There you go. That's why I brought you on for your religious expertise.
Yeah. Well, I got my Bible here. So
oh, perfect.
I was searching the back for ears for like the last 10 minutes.
Where are all the ears?
Come on.
And it baffles me that it took the police this long to like
goodness
start.
Yeah. Well, the 80s were really, I mean, there were so many gang killings and killings over cocaine.
That's true.
So, but the ears thing is the thing.
Yeah. And maybe they were like, some of the police killed some black people, so we'll let them take a few white people.
I mean, they had just killed an insurance agent, you know, less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As the Nation of Yahweh carried out more and more violent attacks against both dissidents and non-members alike, those who had managed to survive escaping the group began to come forward to the police. Among them was Amani, who was given the code name El Indio by the FBI. I have no idea why.
Okay.
According to Amani, quote, "I was fully expecting to get arrested. I just knew that this cult had to be brought down. It was time. And whatever I could do to help, that's what I was willing to do." End quote.
Okay. I mean, a little late, but I'm glad.
I mean, a true Yahweh Ben Yahweh would have forgiven him probably.
Yeah. But you don't want to risk it. You don't want to go to him.
No.
He has a machete.
Well, I don't know if he killed anyone personally.
Mm, true. It's not like the leader to have blood on his hands.
Yeah, he doesn't need to. He just tells everyone to.
Yeah, because he's a God in God.
Exactly, yeah. In 1990, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, along with at least a dozen of his followers, were arrested by the FBI on 18 charges of racketeering, including 14 killings.
Jeez.
2 years later, in 1992, he was sentenced to an 18-year jail term after being found guilty of plotting 14 murders, carrying out 2 attempted murders, and the Delray Beach firebombing.
I've never heard of that. I've heard Delray Beach, but, you know, firebombings are so just like...
so common. It's
so
like,
common. It's like,
which one are you talking about?
For real.
I think it's wild that he only got 18 years.
Yeah, for real. Who wants to go to jail next to that guy, though?
Isn't life sentence 25 years there?
You know, here in Florida, it's kind of like at the discretion. You know, the sheriff of the county that I'm in, they said, Sheriff, why'd you shoot the guy 88 times?
Oh, God.
And he said something like, because we ran out of bullets.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was a cop killer.
Well.
But still, they trapped him in the woods, and that's his quote.
Oh, my God. Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a logical answer. I get it.
Yeah, it makes sense, but it's like, maybe lie.
Yeah, just say, whoops.
My trigger got stuck. I don't know.
Yeah, gun jammed in the on position. Everybody's gun jammed in the on position.
And I reloaded just to see if I could unstick it or something.
Yeah.
In 2001, he was granted parole and forbidden from contacting any past or present members of the Nation of Yahweh.
Should we be talking about this guy?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
Okay.
Coming up, yeah. This was rescinded in 2006, though, when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And attorney Jane Weintraub plead the court for mercy, which, quick note, I think it's absolutely hilarious that his lawyer's last name was Weintraub, which is definitely a Jewish heritage.
Yeah, definitely. There was no like hiding it. Like he didn't go, oh, is this guy a Jew?
Yeah, he's like,
you got to hire experts. So.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. He got out in 2001, was it? Yeah, 2001, he got out.
Wow.
So he didn't really even serve that much time.
Goodness.
If you want to count from 1990 when he was initially arrested, it was 11 years.
That's not bad. I mean, there are marijuana guys here in the state that are in for life, basically.
Which baffles me. This guy kills 14 people and bombs a fucking beach.
I think it was amazing, you know, to the jurors also. They're like, I don't know. That's just so many.
They're like, oh, that was 11 years ago. That's fine.
Yeah.
On May 7th, 2007, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, real name Hulon Mitchell Jr., died at his home in Opa-locka, Florida, age 71.
Wow.
So you don't have to necessarily worry about him. He's okay. He's gone.
Okay, phew.
To this day, Yahweh Ben Yahweh's daughter, Vanita, maintains her father's innocence, as well as his role as the Messiah of the Black Whoa. Hebrew Israelites. In an interview, she said that, quote, "They prosecuted an innocent man, knowing full well of his innocence. It was just unbelievable seeing all of this unfold, knowing he didn't deserve it," end quote.
I'm not going to say that. I don't think she's an expert. I'm just saying.
Okay, yeah, that's your response. Here's my response to it is, fuck you. Your father was a terrible person and doesn't deserve to be remembered as the Messiah.
Yes.
And this goes for every cult leader that I talk about. Fuck them all.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That was what I was going to say.
Well,
it's like you read my transcript.
Yeah, and I can promise you that if heaven and God do exist, these people are not leading you to them. They're leading you straight to the depths of hell. Like it's wild, the people that will forgive these.
Oh, yeah. And the stretches of logic that it takes to get there.
I guess, I mean, it is his daughter. So I guess you got to believe your dad is some sort of good because then
not
does
me.
That make you? But yeah, yeah, fuck
My
it.
Dad's done a lot less. And I'm like, that guy's a dick.
That's funny.
You know, my dad stepped on the back of my shoe one time when I was walking in front of him.
And you were three.
I'm like, I'm done. We're done.
I'm never talking to you again. And the hypocrites agree with us, believing that Hulon Mitchell Jr. was nothing more than a charlatan who led them on a violent rampage that killed at least 13 people and injured countless others.
Wow.
30 years after he left the cult, Khalil Amani continued to wake up in a sweat at least once a week, screaming from his nightmares. In an interview, he said, quote, "Sometimes I think Yahweh Ben Yahweh has been resurrected and knocks on my front door. Sometimes I wonder in my dreams, maybe he really is God," end quote.
No, brother, just get an air conditioner.
Yeah, maybe go talk to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, for real. Get an air conditioner and go talk to somebody. You'll stop waking up in sweats. That's how I solved it. I move out of the state. Jeez.
Yeah, move to Canada. We'll take you in.
Thank you.
But even though the horrors of the Nation of Yahweh are now widely known, many continue to believe in its doctrines and its mission. The organization's website and social media page remain active, although current members insist that their past racism and violence have been abandoned. However, here's an however.
Okay.
One of its present followers, Michael the Black Man, which is a wild name.
That was my middle name in high school. So weird.
Wow. You're like, I got beat up so much.
I didn't understand it. Why?
Also known as Maurice Woodside, once claimed that the Democrats were akin to the German Nazis during a rally for Rick Santorum's presidential campaign in 2012. Since
that
then,
seems like a stretch.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, are they the best people? Not all of them.
Not
sure.
All of them. Are they better than some?
Well,
who knows?
Actually, I was just about to say, since then, Woodside has been very vocal about his support for Donald Trump and his domestic policies.
That's how you lose me.
Yeah, so with members that continue to espouse such beliefs, has the Nation of Yahweh really forsaken its racist and violent history? And that's the question I will leave you all with today. Initial thoughts after hearing about the Nation of Yahweh?
This has got to be one of the fastest, though, right?
The fastest,
yeah. Cults to start, go violent.
Yeah, I guess it was like 11 years because it was 79 through till 90 when he got arrested. So 11 years is pretty long.
He must have been very charismatic, though.
I mean, it was also one of the fastest cults to just radicalize like right away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's bound to like be quick. You know what I mean? It's not.
Well, and
last
the you know, obviously the cops beating the insurance guy is kind of what started the fire.
There you go. That's a good moral to wrap up on. It's
police violence in the States are kind of the cause of a lot of radicalization.
A lot of things. And I mean, I'm curious to see how many cults spread up from this most recent one.
I'm working on it.
I'll have a job for a while.
That's true. Job security.
All right, Your Majesty.
Oh, geez.
So I have a very exciting and very like a new segment for the podcast that I want to start doing going forward in 2020 Part 2, The Reckoning.
Okay.
When I was researching some cults, I stumbled upon an advertisement on Google.
Oh, Jesus.
It was a Yelp review ad that said, quote, top 10 best religious cults near Ashburn, Virginia, unquote. Wow. And I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And it gave me an idea for this segment called Cult Critique.
Okay.
So after each episode, my guests and I will rate the cult that we did an episode on out of 5 stars and give some critiques and comments. I will then, if it's not already, add the cult to Yelp with a review.
Wow.
So that Fred, my audience, can go on and review it themselves. And in the next episode, I will read my favorite reviews from my audience.
Very cool.
So
this is clever.
So just off the bat, 5 stars, what would you rate the Nation of Yahweh?
Oh, man. I think I'd give them a 2.
Okay.
Just for not sticking with their original doctrine, the love idea. You know, maybe my version of love is different. It's less about murder.
I guess it's different for everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's usually not hate, though. I'll give you that.
No. That's the one thing. It's usually the opposite of the murder thing.
Yeah,
for sure. I love you, let me murder you. It's usually not said.
Yeah. Although I guess Lenny from Mice and Men.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
He loves things so much that he crushes them, so.
That's true. So he's on the same level, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm at a 2. I don't know where you're at for this.
I'm sitting around the 2-3 mark because I think it didn't establish itself very long. Like you said, it was pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very impressed at how quickly he radicalized a bunch of people.
That was impressive. I would like to see some of maybe their, I don't know if it's scripture, just kind of see what really got people. You know,
you can just call them up because they're still operating.
I don't think I'm going to do that, though.
The sad thing is I might not have to create a Yelp page for this one.
No, but, that one's probably real.
But yeah, some things they could have done better, you know, is definitely taking a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm. They were on the right track with the community help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They didn't take enough money. I think that was my biggest, like you said, they didn't steal enough money from their followers to make them dependent on them so they could escape still.
That's true. Yeah. You got to lock those followers down.
Yeah.
They don't have clothes. I mean, well, clothes. I mean, maybe like bed sheets or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Florida. It's pretty warm.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Nudism is popular down here.
Oh, perfect. That's the episode we did not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. That was an uncomfortable one.
But yeah, I think a 2 or a 3 sounds pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're okay with that. And then the critiques, you know, could have tried to sustain a little longer, could have made them more dependent.
Yeah, and maybe not cut people's head off in like the first 3 years.
Yeah, definitely not your own people. That's a big thing. Don't kill your own people. Kill other people.
No, not within the first 5 years. I think that's the rule.
I think, it's a rule.
Year 6 is when we start killing hypocrites.
Yeah, Jim Jones wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. Well, I'll create the page. And if any listeners out there want to go and review it themselves, maybe you have some different opinions, I'll read out some of the maybe funniest or best reviews next
week. It should be interesting.
I think it'll be fun. I'll send you some afterwards too.
Very cool.
So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Josh, please tell the people about Florida Man on Florida Man and where they can find it.
Okay. So we are a Florida Man, Florida Men based podcast where we go kind of past the headlines, the crazy, but we obviously highlight it. It is our, you know, it's low hanging fruit. So we have to take it, right? But we also do Florida history. So you can find us at fmofm.com or FMOFM anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
That's awesome. What's maybe your favorite, like one of your favorite stories of Florida Man?
It's got to be one of the original cowboys named Bone Mazel.
Oh my God, that's quite the name.
Yeah. We have a few, he shows up a few times.
He's a recurring guest.
Yeah. He was said to be able to whip a fly off a cow's butt without the cow noticing.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's impressive.
He's a real character, and there are books about the guy.
Jeez. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I encourage, you know, listeners, stop by and, you know, just listen to our whole catalog. You'll find the episodes.
Yeah, that definitely. No, thank you for coming on, Josh. I really appreciate it. No,
I appreciate you having me.
My listeners, definitely go give Florida Men on Florida Man a listen. They're always funny, and Florida, you know, never fails to give an interesting story. So
it never fails. It's too easy.
If you're loving this podcast, be sure to give us a review and tell your friends about it. If you want to keep up to date with the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @let's_cult. You can follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/letsstartacultpod, or you can go to letsstartacultpodcast.com and sign up for our newsletter. Thank you, Fred, for listening, and thank you, Josh, for coming on today. We will see you next time.
Awesome.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Have you been wanting to read more, but don't seem to have the time? Well, with Audible, you can read your books without having to find the extra time in your busy schedule. Stuck in traffic on your way home from work? Why not marathon the Harry Potter books? In the gym and want to learn about the First Lady? Well, you can listen to Becoming Michelle Obama while doing leg day. And if you go to audibletrial.com/cultivate, you get a month free of Audible. That includes one credit that you can trade in for any audiobook of your choice, access to thousands of audiobooks free to listen to with your account, and best of all, you have access to all of your favorite podcasts in the app as well. So be sure to go to my link, audibletrial.com/cultivate. That's C-U-L-T-I-V, the number 8, to sign up for a free month of Audible and start reading today. Thank you, Audible, for supporting the show.